You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. The next audio file to be put up on the Great Joy and Great Tribulation radio network will not have the typical introduction and exit clips with the shofars and all. That is because the next audio to be put up will just barely fit as it is without the introduction and exit on a standard CD. I hope that you will get that file on the FEMA camps and make CDs of it. These are perilous times. No one who is informed would ever take one of these flu vaccines. The H1N1 has been fabricated in a laboratory. The plan and agenda of these Antichrist Luciferian global socialists is to kill 93% of the people on Earth. Now, I know that's very hard to believe. If you find that hard to believe, just click up this file, www.moresureword, that's M-O-R-E-S-U-R-E-W-O-R-D, one word, www.moresureword.com/Lucifer10, L-U-C-I-F-E-R-T-E-N, .htm. See it chiseled in stone. There is one and only one concerted effort the people in America could make, only one political issue that could make a difference and slow down the population of these camps with the forced vaccinations and finally extermination that's going to be done on a wide-scale basis in these camps, and that would be to rise up against the usurpation of the office of president by someone who probably was not native born. It is impossible for him to be natural born. Someone who probably is not a citizen at all of the United States, presuming to take over the office of president and become dictator of America. And if you notice, you see how much this man has aged in just a matter of 10 months. He is very deeply concerned that his handlers have set him up, and nothing can seemingly reassure him, even giving him the Nobel Peace Prize for nothing. So now he's declared a state of emergency. Everyone should look at the public portions available of PDD 51. The president can declare a national emergency and institute martial law and start carting off Jews and Christians to these extermination centers anytime. And as far as I can see, there's only one thing that could possibly slow this agenda of Lucifer, Satan the devil, his Antichrist prince and false prophet pope down. And that would be if the people rise up to demand that this citizen of Indonesia, who is an illegal alien, be removed from the office of President of the United States. This man is amazing in how criminal this man is at such a young age. He has 39 different Social Security cards, 130-some-odd false jobs that he has received political payback salaries. His wife was receiving, maybe still is, $357,000 a year as a consultant to some hospital wherein Barack Obama got them $1 million a year. So the hospital gets $1 million a year, and his wife gets a paycheck for $357,000 a year. This is typical of over 130 such illegal activities that have been documented in the research of various people showing that he could not possibly be in the office of president except for a totally compromised Republican Party, a totally compromised Democrat Party, and a completely compromised House and Senate, a compromised Supreme Court, to say the least, and a compromised court system in general. So now the issue is up to the military. But you see, every action of this illegal usurper, who is living proof that the U.S. constitutional republic has ended, every action of this illegal president could become null and void if the people focused on that one issue. I hope people can understand why that issue of Barack Obama not being eligible to be president is so important, why it must be the main issue, and I hope it helps you at least discern people that are knowledgeable and people who, if they are in the media, certainly are controlled opposition, disinformation experts, if they tell you any issue compares in importance to the issue of getting Barack Hussein Obama out of the office of president. Everything that he does, every bill he signs, every executive order that he makes, all of that will be rolled back. His declaration of martial law, his declaration of a state of emergency, all of those things can be rolled back if he is removed from office. But he must be removed from office by legal means, by court action, by military. He, God forbid, certainly better pray that he is not assassinated. You certainly better pray that he's not made some sort of a martyr. This man personifies wickedness and evil and the rapid advancement of the Antichrist Luciferian global agenda. He must be removed, but he must be removed by legal means, not by people taking the law into their own hands. And the military has a right to remove him. And that is his big concern, because he must have the military support. Without the military support, he cannot stand. Even with his phony baloney Nobel Peace Prize, he cannot stand. As a matter of fact, that's why he got the Peace Prize, to try and help him stand. But even with his phony baloney Nobel Peace Prize, he cannot stand. And the military and the people have got to move quickly if there's any hope of slowing down this rapid Luciferian Antichrist agenda. Now, we can't turn it back. That's not what I'm saying. And the main thing is still faith. You got to get more word in you while you still have access to the Holy Bible. Faith is the only answer to what we face. Right now, I'm going to give you a presentation made by Gary Null on October 13th to the New York State Assembly about how dangerous these flu shots are and how serious this problem of forced inoculation really is. The $64 question should be to anyone and everyone. Look, if these vaccines were effective, what sort of a threat does a non-vaccinated person represent to a vaccinated person? Why must they be forced? If the vaccines work, the unvaccinated person would be absolutely no threat to the vaccinated person. The plain fact of the matter is that these vaccines, these fast-tracks, dangerous, untested vaccines, are part of the problem and in no way part of the solution. These are dangerous. These flu shots are dangerous and is advancing the agenda of these Antichrist Luciferian global Satanists, and it should be resisted. I hope you'll go to the Pestilence article on a Great Joy and Great Tribulation website, www.moreshureword.com/pestilence with a capital P .htm. I will include this audio from Gary Null there. I wish that the audio could be made more clear, but this is the best I could do. I would like to know more about Gary Null's background, and I don't, but I do know that the people that I have checked their background, his research is consistent with their findings. I think at least the information he presents here, and he obviously is quite passionate about this issue. I just don't know Gary that well, but this is something that you at least deserve a chance to be able to hear. Gary Null.
I'm going to try to bring four separate pieces of the puzzle together. Some of it may include some of what you've already heard, but I know for a fact much of it is different. There's an old Jewish saying, a half-truth is a full lie. I begin my discussion by asking two basic questions. Are vaccines safe? If so, what is the proof? Are vaccines effective? If so, what is the proof? I am not talking about all vaccines, though this applies to all vaccines, specifically on what we're dealing with. I have reviewed the scientific literature extensively. I have spent the last 7.5 years with thousands of hours of research on the subject of autism and what connections they may have to environmental factors, including vaccines. Not just the thimerosal in vaccines, but the other ingredients as well. I produced an award-winning document called Autism Made in USA. I produced a separate document called Vaccine Nation, representing all sides. All of it, the primary sponsor in the United States, vaccines in general, is in there and has his say. I then did something that I thought had been done, and I was surprised when I realized it had not. When I began to review what amounted to thousands of peer-reviewed literature studies on vaccines, I found that I could find no convincing evidence that any vaccine at all had long-term double-blind placebo-controlled study trials, and even when they said, when the evidence I did examine, that the CDC and the FDA and other organizations were using as, oh, of course they're studies, and they showed the studies, they would say, well, this is a study, and then I would find that, well, you left out the virus part of the vaccine, but you included all the other ingredients, including thimerosal and mercury and formaldehyde, etc. Well, that's not a placebo. And in good science, you don't use that as a placebo. I also saw that virtually all the studies that were supporting the vaccines were done by the vaccine manufacturers. And since the FDA does not do independent studies on the creation, safety, and efficacy of vaccines, but rather relies upon the information from the vaccine manufacturers, and there's a very close relationship, I then took a very careful look at this relationship and found that more than 50% of the people sitting on the FDA and the CDC's vaccine advisory program were from vaccine manufacturers. I felt this was a gross conflict of interest. The rationale was given that there are not enough experts who are independent to sit on these committees. Now, I thought that's absurd. There are more than 3 million outstanding scientists in the United States. Don't tell me you can't find 15 who have no industry affiliation to sit on a vaccine scheduling committee. I then took a careful look, and here's what I found. And this is where you have to bring the pieces together or you lose sight. We're too close, too narrow on this issue. First, when a child is given a vaccine, adults given a vaccine, a senior citizen's given a vaccine, rarely, if ever, has anyone done any study that I can find, and I'm open to the fact I may not have found one that was done, but I looked at thousands, where they looked at combinations of vaccine used in the given individual to see what short and long-term impact it might have had. Now, the panel before said that only 2% of vaccine adverse reactions are reported. The highest number I could find was the FDA's 10%. When you consider that $1.3 billion has been given out in vaccine damage, and you consider that the criteria for receiving that award is based upon getting the proof that your vaccine injury occurred in a very narrow frame of time, and then you look at the epidemiological evidence, you talk with immunologists, you talk with people, and every specialty of medicine, they will tell you many people will have a delayed reaction to a vaccine. It might be a month, 6 months, a year, even 2 years. For 18 years, sir, I have been trying to help the Gulf War veterans in the United States do something that I'm appalled to say that our own federal agencies has failed to do, including Bush Sr., Clinton, and Bush Jr. administrations. Acknowledge that 400,000 GIs who are sick with Gulf War syndrome actually have something other than post-traumatic stress disorder. I've done 3 award-winning documentaries on their plight. I've interviewed over 1,000 of them. I've interviewed people who have massive body lesions, who have rare and exotic diseases, who have brain and neurological disorders, having nothing to do with post-traumatic, didn't even go to the Gulf Theater. They got the vaccine. The experimental anthrax vaccine, the experimental botulism vaccine, that the FDA, similar to what it's doing with swine flu, gave a pass, an exemption on long-term studies. those Americans, those brave, courageous Americans, over 33,000 are reported dead. Their statistics appear nowhere, only by those who are Gulf War veterans putting together their own figures. They have gone to Washington. I've gone to Washington to interview Chris Todd. I've gone to Washington to interview the people in the presence of the Gulf War vet, a man who got out of bed in the morning, had to crawl to get to his daughter because his legs were swollen the size of a football. A woman who had no illnesses, 22 years old, was in the Gulf, got the vaccines, and now couldn't walk in bed 16, 18 hours a day. The government has refused to acknowledge that Gulf War syndrome is legitimate. To this day, now, I read the hearings, and I saw all of those white coat phenomena, the scientists and physicians that we bow down to, marching in and giving testimony. I had every word they said at every committee hearing. Rockefeller Committee, all of them, and they all were in gross denial. Whose interests were they serving? Certainly not the sick Gulf vets. And you would see the Gulf West determined to get their story out. No one listening. No one has looked at the facts. There are 44 separate studies, 44 today, that show the Gulf War syndrome is real and that it was due to what they were exposed to. These are real diseases. For decades and more, they said there's no diseases. Now, I'm wanting to ask, you're willing to inject pregnant women in this state or fire them if they don't take the vaccine. Are you or any member here, anyone, is the governor, is anyone in the state going to be held personally and legally responsible if that developing fetus gets that mercury into their brain and ends up with a learning disability, with autism, with any one of the autism spectrum disorders, or ends up with some form of intellectual deficit? We have an epidemic. I did another award-winning documentary called The Drugging of Our Children. Appalling to know that when you were going to school, when I was going to school, no kid got drugged. Today, 10 million American children don't go to school before they get a class 2 drug, the same class as cocaine. Do we actually have a new epidemic that didn't happen to any generation in American history, anywhere else in the world, but suddenly happened in the last 25 years to the newest generation? They have a brain chemical imbalance? No. And yet the so-called experts, the very experts that you would rely upon, are saying, well, must be something wrong, that's why we're giving them the drugs must work. And I say, no. The number one cause of death in the United States in 10 to 14-year-old boys is suicide. How many kids committed suicide when you were going to school, sir? None when I went to school. When I went to the largest high school in my state, 5,500 students, Parker Creek High School. So what do we have? A whole new generation of people where autism is suddenly showing its head that never before? If autism were historically there, then everyone in their 50s, 60s, and 70s would start representing at least percentage-wise population autism in adults. We don't see it. It doesn't exist. And yet we refuse to acknowledge that what they're getting early in life could be contributing to it. So I'm saying I'm not willing to sit by quietly and allow women who've been used and abused by the medical authorities, the very same medical doctors who have sit here with great certainty and enormous hubris and contempt for women, say, your body is our concern, your developing fetus is in our best interest to make sure it's born healthy, and yet give them mercury. You ask that same doctor, would you give that woman lead? Would you give anyone in this room lead? If you did, you would go to jail. So you're going to give something more toxic than lead to every one of these pregnant women? Sir, I'm appalled and I'm offended in the extreme, and I will not contain my concern, because these same women that we're so-called interested in, for the last 35 years, I've been one of the leading people advocating against synthetic hormone replacement therapy. We know now it causes breast cancer, ovarian cancer, heart attacks, dementia, and stroke. 10% minimum, 13% more likely. You're talking about 10 million women. That's 1.3 million women we're allowing to be sacrificed on the altar of ignorance or greed or hubris. My mother died of a heart attack in the middle of the night, and she was taking synthetic hormone replacement therapy. Now, another part of this scenario is the number one cause of death in the United States is American medicine. I did a report that has not been refuted with five other MD board certified and PhDs called Death by Medicine. I was intrigued when the American Medical Association said that the number three or four causes of death in the United States was iatrogenesis. What they failed to mention were all the other causes. So we did the same statistics using their statistics, no one else's, and no editorializing. We found that more Americans die each year from medical errors than heart attacks or strokes or cancer. More are injured. 723,000. Dr. LePay from Harvard, considered the United States' expert on this, said over a million. We're even conservative. And our figures and his figures do not account for anyone who has an adverse reaction at home, only in institutional settings. So the figure is much higher. Now, you would think that if you have more Americans killed each year, preventable deaths, more Americans injured, preventable injuries, than all of American casualties in the First and Second World War combined in one year, that there'd be a hearing, a committee, some open forum such as this, which I'm happy you're doing. Nothing. It's the 10,000-pound gorilla in the room. So if American medicine is incapable, as good as we are, and I respect what works in American medicine, it saves lives. But I'm also very much concerned about the lives it takes and does not acknowledge. So now, I've got a problem with the doctor giving me some certainty, whether it's a doctor in private practice or a doctor at the state board level, saying that, trust us. I'm saying I'm trusting the science, and the science does not show that you deserve my trust. Now, the World Health Organization, I believe, is disingenuous and plain half-truths. As of May 2009, a pandemic was defined as, quote, from the World Health Organization, an influenza pandemic occurs when a new influenza virus appears against which the human population has no immunity, resulting in epidemics worldwide with enormous numbers of deaths and illness, unquote. Now, today it reads, quote, a disease epidemic occurs when there are more cases of that disease than normal. A pandemic is a worldwide epidemic of a disease. An influenza pandemic may occur when a new influenza virus appears against which the human population has no immunity, unquote. Conclusion, by the new definition, the world will always be in a pandemic requiring flu vaccines. This is not what the World Health Organization recently announced. Now, the efficacy, Dr. Anthony Morris, who should have been here, the former chief vaccine officer, top authority at the FDA, quote, the producers of these vaccines know they are worthless, but they go on selling them anyway. CDC officials have confessed, quote, influenza vaccines are the least effective immunizing agents available, especially for the elderly and the children. So when I was in Albany last week and met with a physician, I asked a simple question. Why are you giving this up first to pregnant women, children, and the senior citizens? Well, because it's going to save the senior citizens. I had five peer-reviewed studies, the only five peer-reviewed studies considered a quality showing efficacy levels for the swine flu vaccine. 0%, 2%, 7%, 9%. That, for the flu vaccine, would be considered completely statistically non-significant. Therefore, there is no protection that we can say that the flu vaccine or the swine flu vaccine confers upon senior citizens. Yet, with just a dismissal of a thought, it went out the window. Well, not when you're a senior citizen and you're more likely to have a compromised immune system. We have more illnesses in the United States today than ever before in our history. We have epidemics of immune-related illnesses, arthritis, diabetes, cancers, lupus, fibromyalgia. These are not healthy people. And yet, in the FDA, and they mentioned earlier Dr. Tom Jackson, head of the vaccine field group at the Cochrane database, a review of all published and unpublished efficacy evidence, and I looked at all their actual studies. I didn't take his word. They found only one safety study performed with an inactivated flu vaccine conducted back in 1976. Quote, most studies are of poor methodological quality, and the impact of confounders is high. Quote, evidence for systemic reviews show that inactivated vaccines have little or no effect on the effects measured, unquote. Quote, immunization of young children is not lent support by our findings. We recorded no convincing evidence that vaccines can reduce death, hospital admission, serious complications, community transmission, and influenza. Quote, in young children below the age of 2, we could find no evidence that the vaccines were different than a placebo. And then last week, the National Institutes of Health announced two efficacy and safety trials underway, one for pregnant women, another for healthy adults with asthma. Now, look at the analysis. There are no control groups. And to me, that inactivates the quality of the study. In the exclusion criteria for pregnant women, if a pregnant woman shows a temperature spike of 100 degrees Fahrenheit or higher in 72 hours, quote, from receiving the shot, they are excluded from the study. Hello? Hello? My God, what has happened? Has science gone crazy? The whole idea is that if a pregnant woman has a vaccine and she has a temperature, you immediately say that is a causative action and must be considered and examined. You're going to exclude her? This is a fixed study. This is absolute scientific fraud. And I will sue these bastards. Trust me, I am not a person to be played with on these issues. And I have the resources and the attorneys to do so. I'm not going to allow another one of these stupid industry studies. Now, I could go on. I'm not going to, because many of the people have touched. But here's what you didn't know. None of you knew. No one in America knows this. So this is something you should think on, sir. And I'm not holding you responsible for my thoughts or my emotions. So please do not personalize it. All right? You're here. You have to take a lot of stuff today. I'm sorry to be the bearer of my own energy, too. All right? I decided to do something I am embarrassed to say no one in the media has done. I wanted to see the efficacy, I wanted to see the character of the people that we've been supporting. Much like the banks that were too big to fail and the 20 banks that were solvent, we gave all that TARP money to. Well, I looked into their background and I found that they have settled nearly $1 trillion in lawsuits for every crime you can imagine. Now, if you or I committed the kind of crimes that these individuals committed, we would not be held up as a character of high value. Then I went to the vaccine makers, the very people we trust, the people we say if you're giving us a vaccine, we were going to accept that you've done the good science, that you have no alternative motive except to protect people, and if you make a little profit, fine. I have all their data from LexisNexis. I hired a group of young attorneys who are researchers, and I said, I want every study we now have, just a sampling, 132,000 lawsuits. Let me repeat that, sir. 132,000 lawsuits that these individuals have paid for fines from price fixing, falsifying scientific data, skewing studies, knowing in advance that they had unhealthy and toxic drugs and allowing them on the market. Why? Because it was considered the cost of doing business. The cost of doing business ended up causing 43,000 Americans to die from one drug, Vioxx. Dr. Graham of the FDA, who I interviewed, who was a very conscientious person, said that he went to the FDA and his own office and said, we can't allow this drug out. It is dangerous. They kept him quiet. They intimidated him. They threatened him. He's on the record saying that. And Vioxx came out in 4 years. It killed 43,000 people, injured 125,000. And yet, they settled a lawsuit for $4.85 billion, and their stock went up. My God. Where else than in America could you kill 43,000 people and get a raise? Am I the only person to find this rather odd that these serial criminals, these absolute criminals, are the ones that we trust with our health, an entire nation, put at risk? Now, if they had a clean record, if they'd only been shown to do good things for the public, yes, but I've got 132,000 studies, lawsuits settled. How many do I not have that were settled and no amount was given? Triple that. Over $1 trillion. So here we have it, people who have committed crimes. Their crimes end up causing death and injury. And we give them a clean pass, a get out of jail, no character assassination, nobody goes to jail, nobody is harmed, your reputations are intact. We're in fact, we don't care what you do. We don't care how many crimes you commit. We don't care how many Americans you kill or injure. Go ahead and make us our vaccine. They say, well, we need to give them the subsidies. We need to give $1 billion to one company, $2 billion to another, $4 billion to another. I managed to find their actual cost of what it cost them to make the 10 most popular drugs in America. Listen carefully. This is enlightening. This is a very important part of this puzzle. Celebrex, 100 milligrams. You pay $130.27. They pay for the cost of the generic active ingredient from same 100 capsules, 60 cents. Their markup, 21,712% markup. Then you have Claritin, 10 milligrams. Consumer pays $215.17. Their cost, 71 cents, 30,306% markup. I'll skip some that are lower in the 8,000, 10,000%. Let me go to Norvax, 10 milligrams, $188.29. You pay, they pay 14 pennies. 14 pennies. That's 134,493% markup. Then Prevacid, 30 milligrams, $344.77. They pay $1, that's 34,136% markup. Oh, and let us know, Prilosec, 20 milligrams, $360.97. They pay 52 cents, 69,417%. But I say the last two for Beth here. Prozac. We've all heard of Prozac. 20 milligrams, $247.47. They pay 11 cents. 11 cents. 224,973%
markup. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt. Maybe I do. But there are many other people who...
Okay, I'll finish. I'll finish in 1 minute. Yeah. All right. And finally, Xanax. 1 milligram of Xanax cost you $136.79. They pay 2 cents. 569,958% markup. So what we have is we have some extreme profit, more than any other industry, more than any other products I'm aware of. We're from people who have committed massive crimes against humanity and gotten a clean bill of health for it, who are telling us to believe that their vaccines are safe and effective. They have no double-blind placebo-controlled studies, and they're willing to allow the most vulnerable amongst us, the children, pregnant, and seniors, to get this vaccine. I'm not opposed to any vaccine that can be shown to be safe and effective. I am opposed to science that is so faulty, so written with inconsistencies and contradictions, that they're not allowing an open debate between those of us who do this, look at the science and they who are claiming it. This is not a secret. This is in full view of the public. I'm concerned that we do not allow people in our society a freedom of choice. Democracy is about freedom of choice. You can believe any religion is the right one, any job you want, any political party. Well, why can't you have the same right of choice about your body and your health? I am a healthy American, and I do not want, as a healthy American, a toxic drug in my body. To me, that's a violation of my constitutional rights, as well as just decency and ethics. Thank you very much.
Can you point me to a systematic review of the safety of either the flu vaccine or...
I can, sir. Vaccine. I gave the woman at the door 10 copies. It's 100 pages with 207 scientific references, no editorializing, pure science, a review of the safety and efficacy studies of the swine flu and the flu vaccines only. Nothing else mentioned. And it is complete, only peer-reviewed literature was used, and you have a copy of it.
And who did the systematic review?
A group of researchers, myself included. People with backgrounds in molecular biology and internal medicine and virology. And I might mention, I keep hearing everyone say the expert panel agreed that there was no connection. I heard it earlier in the day between vaccines and autism. But I have to actually go to the research, and I found that that was absolutely not true. In fact, the members of the panel of that vaccine oversight committee, 13 members of the committee said that there was a connection. They had no vaccine or drug company affiliation. The small percentage said there was not a connection. All had vaccine or drug company affiliations. And I'm surprised that information has not been made available. I also have all the studies on the sicknesses that children have developed when they've taken the flu vaccines. And all these are from separate studies. They're all peer reviewed.
You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.